One of the most important elements in the game is coming off as warm and genuine. Compliments are a big part of coming off as a kind person, but ultimately arbitrary, unfounded niceness often falls flat. In order for a compliment to be effective, it needs to be read as sincere and not motivated by hidden factors. Part of the purpose of disqualifiers is to lay the groundwork for sincere compliments by establishing an air of objectivity. Today's challenge is to compliment three people, one of whom should be a stranger. Your compliments should not be overly superficial or random, but instead, they should be motivated by environmental and personal factors. Complimenting a friend on their new haircut, for instance, is more sincere than simply telling a stranger they look nice. Compliments should convey not only a positive attitude, but also a sense of empathy, an understanding of the kind of thing another person would specifically want to hear. Day 17. Before embarking on today's challenges, you should take time to internalize some helpful information on common pitfalls for men attempting to initiate a connection with women. Specifically, there are 11 basic commandments on what not to do when approaching a woman. 1. Don't be afraid to approach a group. Waiting to catch a woman alone is a waste of valuable time. 2. Don't stare before approaching. Keep your gaze casual. 3. Don't be afraid of mixed groups of men and women. 4. Don't give an apologetic greeting like, "Pardon me," or "Excuse me." This demonstrates a lack of confidence. 5. Don't give random, generic compliments. Focus on conversation rather than flattery. 6. Don't break the ice by buying a woman a drink. 7. Don't initiate physical contact without invitation. 8. Don't hover. Maintain a good posture and confident tone. 9. Avoid generic questions like, "Where are you from?" and "What do you do?" 10. When speaking with a group, be generous with your focus of attention. 11. Once you have a full appreciation of these commandments, do not be afraid to break them if the circumstances allow for it. Today we'll focus on reviewing some of your previous challenges. Go over the challenges from the last 8 days and decide which tasks require more work on your end. Redo these tasks to help build up any skills you feel you may be deficient in. Once you have completed the first part of today's challenge, complete the full challenge by going out and trying the rings routine again on your two different people or groups. Only this time, incorporate some of the cold reading strategies discussed on day 15. If appropriate, feel free to use some of the phrases that struck you when you visited your psychic. Day 18. Today, you're going to be developing your conversational skills through the use of three new concepts: loops, hooks, and threads. A good conversation requires more than an enlivening topic. In order for a conversation to remain engaging over a long period of time, it needs to remain dynamic and flexible. The first key to creating such a conversation is using loops. Loops are open ends in a conversation or story that keep people invested due to their desire for resolution. For instance, if you are about to complete your rings routine, but become distracted by another topic or called away, you will have created a loop which will remain in the other person's mind until the open topic is completed. An effective way to create loops is to seize on random topics in a conversation, thereby creating new topics and enhancing the attraction of ongoing topics. A good way to create loops by starting new topics is identifying hooks in the conversation. A hook is a word or comment used to catalyze a new subject or conversation. For instance, if a woman says, "Where I'm from," that isn't done. A hook presents itself, as you can now ask her where she comes from. When you decide to seize on a new topic, you are creating a thread, a new line of conversational subject matter. To summarize, a healthy conversation uses situational hooks to create multiple threads of topics, which, left open or incomplete as loops, will keep people connected to the ongoing flow of discourse. Before embarking on today's challenge, practice using hooks as a way to create new threads. Have a friend read out random words and try to use them as a jumping-off point for some personal stories. When you feel you are adept at spontaneously creating multiple topics of conversation, go out and interact with two groups of people. In these interactions, interrupt your indirect opener with a new thread. If this feels slightly strange, remember, not every conversation will flow like this. The point of the exercise is to practice a new skill, not build a fixed structure for your future interactions. Day 19. As previously discussed, many women develop tactics to ward off unwanted advances from men. And unfortunately, these tactics can be so routine, women will use them even if they aren't necessarily disinterested. Negative responses prompted by situational pressure are called autopilot responses, and it's important to know ways to avoid them if you are asking for a phone number or inviting a woman to accompany you to an event. One effective way to avoid autopilot responses is by seeding. That is, planting opportunities to invite a woman out and leaving these opportunities unfulfilled until the last minute. By mentioning exciting events or interesting locations, but not immediately extending an invitation to your conversation partner, you create intrigue and deny your conversation partner a chance to reject your invitation out of reflex. When your invitation does come, it will seem offhand enough that the chance of a positive response will be much higher. This strategy works best if the invitation is to a group event. The more casual the plan, the less a woman will feel as though she needs to respond in a certain way. Today, begin your challenge by filling 6 days of your personal calendar with activities and events. When you are familiar with these activities, begin 3 conversations and practice using seeding by mentioning an upcoming event. You do not need to actually invite anybody out. The purpose of today's challenge is only to practice casually bringing up events in conversation. Day 20. Today, you're going to be seriously attempting to acquire a woman's contact information. While this may sound like a major step forward, in practice, it is usually a very simple process, provided it is done correctly. To begin, you will need to practice seeding, as discussed in yesterday's briefing. Plant the details of an event in conversation, but do not extend an invitation immediately. As you are about to conclude your interaction, simply recommend your conversation partner check out the event or place you've discussed. Then double back and offhandedly ask if they would like to go with you and a group of friends. When you extend the invitation, use a because incentive, such as, "You should come with us, because then I can finish explaining what your ring finger says about you." When getting contact information, do not simply ask for a number. Instead, offer your own contact information by tearing a business card or piece of paper in half, writing your number on one half and offering her the other half so she can do the same. It is highly unlikely a woman will reject your own contact information, and the mechanics of this particular process make it difficult for her to not complete the exchange without seeming rude. The point of this is to not trick someone into giving you their information, but rather to demonstrate that your exchange is casual and two-sided. Today, your challenge will be to practice this approach in a series of conversations. Use an event from your calendar and be sure you're able to attend. If this approach works and you obtain a phone number, the challenge is complete. If you are unsuccessful, you should attempt this challenge at least 5 times before concluding the day. Day 21. Romantic attraction is a gradual process, and over the past few days, you have learned about several tools and strategies to help usher this process along. It can be helpful to think about these tools in a linear order and consider how they correspond to different phrases in the game of attraction. Successful courtship typically progresses through 5 basic phases. The first phase is a playful opening which breaks the ice and establishes a casual connection. The second phase involves a demonstration of value, wherein positive traits like confidence, generosity, and non-neediness are projected. The third phase begins to craft an emotional connection and focuses on shared interests and value systems. The fourth phase builds on the third phase by introducing further intimacy, personal stories, emotional openness, and the beginnings of a physical connection. The fifth and final phase welcomes a mutual physical and romantic attraction. There are variant interpretations of these five stages, but the essential trend remains the same: a journey from curiosity to connection to love. Although you do not need to overanalyze the minute details of romantic progression, it is important to conceive of your strategies in a linear, multi-phase manner. The more you understand how each tool contributes to a general flow towards attraction, the better you will be able to understand the game. Today, you will be taking some time to review what you have learned and put everything into sequential order. Write out a script with each tool in its proper place. Begin with your indirect openers. Proceed to the routes and time constraints you use to keep a conversation partner interested. Next, write down your playful disqualifiers, areas where you demonstrate value, and cold readings, where you begin to establish an emotional connection. Write down the identity statement you will use to make your work appear intriguing, and follow with appropriate personal stories. Finish with the events you will seed into the conversation and a write-up of the technique you will use to secure contact information. This full script, once written, will be your cheat sheet. Today's challenge will be to follow it from beginning to end with at least one woman. The cheat sheet will remain a reliable bedrock for what will eventually become an instinctual process. As you get more experienced at the game, you may find yourself editing down your script by skipping or altering steps. What matters is that you have a firm grasp of all the fundamentals and an understanding of how they work together to create a sequence. Day 22. Today, you will be learning about how to use framing to make unexpected situations work in your favor. Framing means consciously changing the perspective on a given situation. For example, if an awkward moment occurs in conversation and you diffuse it with a joke, that moment has been reframed into a positive light. There are several different ways to use framing to control situations. The first is to change the frame size. Think of this technique as expanding or reducing the context of a situation in order to make your attitude more favorable. For example, if a woman is resistant to leave a place with you because she's worried about her friend's judgments, you can either expand the frame by suggesting life is an adventure and inhibitions are limiting, or you reduce the frame by focusing in on your intimate connection and making external concerns seem inconsequential. Next, you can try reframing context. This technique is at the heart of positive thinking. Reframing context means changing your outlook on the unexpected, so a gloomy, rainy day becomes a good day to catch a movie. Applying this technique to yourself will not only help project a positive attitude, but will also be helpful in strengthening your inner game, so every failure becomes reframed into a learning experience. Reframing content is based on changing your own attitude towards the attitudes of others. For instance, if you are speaking with a woman whose friend insists she shouldn't leave with you, don't go on the offensive and get frustrated. Instead, try to see things from the friend's perspective. Maybe she's just concerned and protective because of bad experiences in the past. If you consider the friend's attitude in a positive light, you will be motivated to solve the problem empathetically, perhaps by offering your contact information to the friend or by spending some time speaking with her. Finally, reframing criticism is a way to transform negative reflections into positive ones. A nitpicky person who only focuses on flaws comes off as unpleasant, whereas a skilled, optimistic reframer who can turn "that won't work" into "what's your plan on doing it" will come off as generous and helpful. Reframing is just as much about manipulating situations in the outer game as it is about nurturing your own attitudes in the inner game. A mastery of reframing will help you maneuver situations and come off in a good light, but it will also keep your own personal perspectives on things from veering into unproductive negativity. For your challenge today, practice reframing by doing one of the following. 1. Reframe an accident by making it seem intentional. For instance, if someone bumps into you, make a lighthearted joke about yourself not being that easy. 2. Reframing an act of kindness into an act of personal interest. For instance, if you ask someone for a CD recommendation, reframe their suggestions by jokingly suggesting they've been paid off by a record company to recommend it. The key to avoiding awkwardness in this exercise is keeping conversation lighthearted and jovial. With time, exercises like this will help you obtain conscious agency over the mood and tone of your interactions. Day 23. Today you will continue to hone the skills you have already acquired. Go back through your list of techniques and determine which areas you feel you have mastered and which areas you feel need to be improved upon. By this point, you may have already received a woman's phone number through one of your practice interactions. If this is the case, it will still be helpful to go out and continue the practice methods you have learned. If you have not been able to secure a phone number, you should keep pushing forward and pay special attention to the areas where you feel you could improve. Today's challenge, regardless of the success rate of your previous interactions, is to go out and approach 4 women with the goal of following through with your full script. It can be helpful as you continue to practice interacting with new women to understand some of the mechanisms which lead to attraction and successful persuasion. Many of the same psychological tendencies used in sales and advertising can actually be applied to personal interactions as well. Understanding these tendencies will help you enhance and expand upon your game. What follows is a list of helpful psychological tendencies for you to learn. 1. Social proof. Social proof is the basic inclination people have towards believing things because the majority of people believe them. In an unclear situation, people tend to make their own decisions based on the majority's decision. 2. Liking. Liking is the basic tendency to agree with people whom we like and admire. Liking can be seen as somewhat contagious. When we surround ourselves with people we admire and follow their example, it can prompt others to follow us and do the same. 3. Reciprocation. Reciprocation is the inclination people have to do nice things for those who have done nice things for them. Even in the absence of mutual affection, a single benevolent action can spark the desire for reciprocation in another person. 4. Commitment and consistency. This principle states once a decision is made, it is likely to be followed through upon, even as circumstances change. For example, if somebody agrees to purchase an item and the price changes, the odds are they will still be interested in the purchase since they consider their decision fixed. 5. Authority. The authority tendency states people tend to follow and believe in authority figures, or even figures who simply resemble persons of an authoritative status. 6. Scarcity. The scarcity principle states something rare is perceived as more valuable, regardless of its actual utility. This principle plays upon the innate fear of missed opportunities and demands extra attention is paid to things which are less accessible and available. 7. Next level. This final principle states the previously discussed tendencies are enhanced in combination. The more you are able to play on these tendencies, the better your chances of receiving a favorable outcome. Day 24. Today, you focus on planning a dinner party. Dinner parties are one of the best means of getting large groups of people together, and also one of the best means of bringing new people into your social circle. With the right planning, a well-run dinner party will show off your positive traits, provide a casual yet intimate environment for socializing, and further the progression towards attraction with the special guest you invite. The first step towards planning a party is thinking up a reason to have one in the first place. The reason doesn't need to be elaborate. All you need is a small excuse such as, every Sunday, some friends and I get together, or my friend just published his first article and we're celebrating. Whatever the reason, make sure the party is designed for a small and purposefully chosen group of people. The best place to throw a dinner party is at your own house. Your house will provide an intimate setting, decrease time limitations, and offer the chance for you to show off your hosting skills. You can also choose to throw a party at a restaurant or bar, provided it's relaxed and accommodating towards groups of people. When choosing people to invite, think of the process as casting. You should aim to invite a variety of people whose personalities and interests will combine well and will help foster a good atmosphere for your guests. For example, you may consider inviting one friend who is good at conversation, one who is eccentric to keep people entertained, and at least one female friend to make sure the woman you invite is not the only woman at the party. When extending an invitation to your female stranger, you can even use the word casting in a playful manner to show she will have a comfortable role at the party. At the party, consider planning some opportunities to further intimacy with your special guest. Let her help you make drinks or prepare food. If she offers to help clean up, let her, as this can provide time for more personal conversation. We'll go into more detail on what to do at the party when the day arrives. For now, the focus will be on planning the party and inviting guests. Today's challenge is to begin planning for a dinner party to take place on day 30 and approach some women to invite to it. Use your seating technique by mentioning the party but withholding an invitation until the last minute. Don't give away too many details outright. Instead, try and get her contact information so you can call later. Today's challenge will be complete when you get a phone number or make 5 attempts. Day 25. Today is all about phone etiquette. By this point, you will have hopefully received some phone numbers throughout your various exercises. Primary amongst these should be the number you got yesterday from the woman you plan on inviting to your dinner party. The goal today will be to initiate some phone interactions so you can provide details on the party and maintain a connection after your initial meetup. A well-managed phone interaction will usually begin with a text. Texts are more casual than calls and are a good way to ease into a prolonged conversation. Your first text should be short and refer back to the conversation you had when you met. If you left an open loop in your conversation, your first text might reference or complete it. The goal of the first text should simply be to break the ice, not to make plans or be overly personal. If a text conversation ensues, it is okay to continue with it. But if not, the goal should be to initiate a brief back and forth before setting up a time to quickly chat regarding the details of your event or party. When you get a woman on the phone, maintain the same air of casual confidence displayed in your first conversation. Consider opening with a light story or a reference to your previous conversation to break the ice. Keep things easygoing when segueing into the details of your event or party. Keep the conversation simple and do not aggressively press for commitment. Instead, frame your party or event as a chance to hang out. The same rules apply to the phone as they do to real-life conversation. Maintain a casual attitude, act confidently, and don't keep people longer than you need to. Your challenge for today is to call the woman whose contact information you have received and provide details on your day 30 event. Be clear about details and emphasize the small, casual nature of the party. If you have not yet gotten any contacts, go out and attempt 5 approaches after reviewing your full script. Day 26. Today is something of a non-review day. Instead of going out, practicing your script, and using all the tools you have learned thus far, your challenge is to go and speak to 3 people without using any of the skills you have acquired from this book. Engage in small talk. Bring up subjects you've never used before. Throw out all the rules. Time each interaction and pay attention to how they go. Once you have completed this challenge, reflect on the differences you experienced between today's interactions and previous interactions. The goal of this exercise is not only to demonstrate the value of the skills and routines you have learned, but also to show how improvised conversation on its own is a skill to be cultivated. You may feel more awkward in today's conversations because of a lack of practice structure, but you should try to embrace the challenge of going into a conversation without a plan. A truly advanced player in the game understands one of the secrets to making your routine work is knowing you can manage relatively well when conversation deviates away from it. Day 27. The topic for today is rapport. Rapport is the personal connection we feel in relation to another person on mental, emotional, and physical levels. Rapport is built on two principles, leading and syncing. Leading is the process of engaging someone in an amicable manner, which implies a personal bond before it has been fully established. Syncing is the process of subtle mirroring in movement, language, and opinion, which establishes a shared connection. When engaged correctly, leading and syncing provide the experience of speaking with someone who you feel you know and relate to. Today you will learn about rapport by initiating it and breaking it. There are three exercises to help with this. 1. Establish rapport by agreeing with someone in conversation and then abruptly change your opinion. 2. Frustrate an attempt at rapport by disagreeing with someone and observe their reactions. 3. Explore physical rapport by demonstrating both open and closed body language. Observe how your conversation reacts to these changes. Your goal for today is to practice at least 2 of these 3 exercises. Pay close attention to the way your conversation changes as you actively promote and diminish rapport. Day 28. The system you have learned thus far is a framework to guide you through most interactions and help you to engage with new people when followed correctly. The key to getting the most out of the system is understanding how to manipulate it so you can adapt to different circumstances and personalities. It can be helpful to think of your perceptions as an instrument, and the way you manage your perceptions as calibrating your instrument. Depending on how your instrument is calibrated, the way you work through your system will be different. For instance, if a woman comes up to you and begins to aggressively flirt, following your prepared script may not be a wise idea. You will need to read her behavior and appropriately retool your instrument, so your responses to her are productive. Throughout every interaction, you should be tuning your instrument so your behavior adapts to the specific situation. Read your conversation partner for signs of attraction, disinterest, and indifference, and emphasize different areas of your routine and personality to combat or encourage these signals. As interaction progresses, integrate cold reading into your instrument calibration by making reasonable assumptions as to the things she likes, desires, and believes. A good way to build this skill is to watch a television show on mute and try to discern the characters' relationships with one another through their body language and actions. The better you are at making quick readings at others' personalities, the better tuned your instrument will be towards subtle shifts in behavior. Today's challenge is to approach 3 groups and make a guess as to how they know each other with the reasoning that you wanted to ask them a specific question. For example, you might ask a group if they are college friends, since they appear to be so, and you have a question which is relevant to such a group. The goal of this exercise is to hone your reading skills and learn how to discern small but significant details about people simply by observing them. Day 29. Tomorrow marks the end of this challenge. You've come a long way so far and have garnered many new and important skills and strategies. Today is about evaluating how these skills and strategies have affected you and how you can continue to improve yourself. Take some time today to evaluate yourself on the following criteria. 1. Looks. How you appear, how you present yourself, and what your style projects. 2. Adaptability. How flexible and spontaneous you are. 3. Strength. How caring, confident, and assertive you are. 4. Value. What you believe and how well you honor those beliefs with your lifestyle. 5. Emotional connection. How well you can establish chemistry and rapport with others. 6. Goals. How clear, attainable, and ambitious your goals in life are. 7. Authenticity. How personally happy with your own life and personality you are. 8. Self-worth. How positive your general perception of your own value is, and how comfortable you are with yourself. The game is as much about how you can change others' perceptions of you as it is about how you can change your own perceptions about yourself. Without confidence in your own value, you cannot hope to properly appear valuable to others. As you near the end of this 30-day challenge, make sure you take note of how far you've come as an individual and where you have left to go. Be proud of your achievements thus far, and keep striving to build on these achievements to help benefit yourself and others. Day 30. Today is the day of your dinner party, and the final day of the 30-day challenge. Your dinner party is your opportunity to demonstrate your personality, social skills, and generosity as a host. Keep yourself relaxed. The goal of the night is ultimately to have fun. If all goes well, try opening an opportunity for further interaction with your special guest. Ask her to help you to clean a bit, or offer to drive her home if you took cars to a restaurant. By the end of this challenge, many things may have happened. You may have hit it off with your dinner guest and secured a date. You may have secured a date beforehand. You may have been unable to secure contact information, or may still be trying to organize a meetup with one of the women you met. What ultimately matters at this stage is you remember how far you've come and how far you were able to go. Like physical exercise, learning the game is easier for some people than it is for others. But no matter what, with time and commitment, skill will increase. Continue to stay the course. Continue to interact with new people. And continue to host parties and frequent events. The main guarantee of this method, like all successful methods, is this: with work comes progress. This concludes Summary, Neil Strauss's Rules of the Game, written by Black Diamond Publishing, narrated by Michael Price.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.